And good morning. It's 8:07 on News Talk 107.9, and we've got some breaking news and some very good news. The Supreme Court has upheld Idaho's law protecting women and girls in sports. And just a moment ago, stepping into the studio, was the lawmaker who is responsible for that law here in Idaho, and it went on to inspire many other states to pass similar legislation. Representative Barb Ehart, let me be the first to in person congratulate you on this big win at the Supreme Court today.
Wow. Thanks, Neil. It's historic. I mean, I didn't think I'd get emotional because I, some people have asked me if I've been anxious. I haven't been anxious at all. I've been very confident, but, you know, you still need that. You still need to have the ruling come forward. And as you can imagine, my phone has just been blowing up right now.
Yeah.
And it has been an absolutely amazing journey. And to, you know, there for a while, it was just me and then those in our coalition. And I kept saying, it took a couple years, but I kept saying courage begets courage. And it was in 2022 when I flew out to the NCAA swimming championships in Atlanta, Georgia, where we held a huge press conference. ESPN was there, and that's where Riley Gaines was competing and where all this started with Riley. And then she joined us for the 50th anniversary a couple months later in D.C., and, you know, once she came on board, you know, everything really, truly started to change. But it's been amazing, Neil.
You know, I remember back when this was passed, it seemed like we were in the midst of the cancel culture. And
yes,
it was a much more difficult environment than I think we're seeing right now. Idaho was the first to pass a law like this. And it was so volatile. I remember wondering, is the governor going to sign this bill? Because he will take a lot of heat for signing it. You were taking massive heat for getting it passed.
Yes.
And I think you had even some in the Republican Party that were like, I don't know that we should pass this. And, you know, you get accused of bigotry, you get accused of hatred. Your interest throughout this whole thing has just been fairness and making sure that women and girls are protected in athletic events.
Yes.
And so I don't know why I'm getting emotional too, but it has been such a journey for you.
Yeah.
And today's got to be massive vindication for you. And I think in many ways it's the end of a very important chapter, but not the end. I mean,
the fight
for this will continue. We know the progressive left never stops.
Right. No, that's all true. You know, again, for me, this, although we passed this right before COVID in 2020, and I know you've heard the story, but just quickly to remind people, this began in 2018, in the spring of 2018, just after I had served my first 3 months, and I'm just following the Connecticut girls. And, you know, Selena Soul, who's a dear friend now, who really started it, and, you know, Chelsea, Amanda, and just watching them having, you know, just displaced by two guys. It started out as one. Within 18 months, two boys were running and taking two of the top three spots on every podium. And I just kept thinking, this is not right. And it was something that I could see happening and had felt actually a long time ago when we started talking about identity. You know, I think I've told you that before, that I'm thinking, why wouldn't a guy just identify as a gal to help with the cost of college scholarship and, you know, go play soccer or basketball? Why wouldn't they do that, you know, and without even necessarily believing in all of that? And so this is, you know, Neil, I was thinking about this actually yesterday when I was first bringing it forward, and there was just so much, you know, especially from the ACLU, just misinformation, misdirection. And, you know, in the mornings, you guys would be reporting on it, and I would be listening as I was getting ready to go to the Capitol, and I would call in, and you'd take my call, and you'd allow me to give the counter to what, you know, was being said. And I was so incredibly appreciative of that, because people around here who 100% supported me would hear that that all of a sudden there's this genital inspection. And they're like, Barbara, we just can't go for that. And I'm like, there's no inspection. And it continues to this day. The ugly left. We have ugly people who are using ugly language, trying to keep people thinking ugly things that are taking place. And that simply wasn't the case at all. And I was just so appreciative that you guys allowed me a forum to get the correct narrative out.
Well, we're happy to be that. You know, we want to let all sides at least be heard in this. I do want to share with you, Barb, several congratulations have come in on our text line for you, and a lot of smiles. I took the opinion, I actually put it in AI, and I said, summarize this for me. So I want to take just a few little bits from this. And your phone's blown up, so you can check your phone while you're doing this.
You,
but I do want to share the court's reasoning. Number one, Title IX means biological sex. Justice Kavanaugh was writing for the majority. He said Congress understood sex in 1972 to mean biological sex, not gender identity. And the court noted that Title IX expressly prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex. Regulations issued shortly after Title IX specifically allow separate teams for each sex in competitive sports. Those regulations were adopted because of recognized physical differences between males and females. The court also found that states have important interests in competitive fairness, athlete safety, preserving equal athletic opportunities for women and girls. Because biological males generally possess physical athletic advantages, the court concluded that limiting female sports to biological females is substantially related to achieving those objectives. Also, no individualized exceptions are constitutionally required. The plaintiffs argued that transgender athletes who have taken puberty blockers or hormones should receive individualized consideration, but the court rejected that. They said states are not required to evaluate athletes one by one to determine whether a particular person retains physical advantages, and instead legislatures may draw broader classifications based on biological sex.
Yeah, it was Ketanji Jackson Brown that kept going for that one by one, you know, as though, oh, there's got to be something we can do. And it's just like, how, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's a great sum. I was told that it was 9-0 to uphold the law under Title IX, but the differentiation was under the equal protection.
Okay.
And I'll continue to get, you know, updates, but that is from the attorney and the organization that did the amicus brief in my name. So
there, you've got your peeps feeding you info,
yes,
right?
That's good. I'm trying to get, yes, correct.
This summary also says it's a major victory for Idaho, and the court specifically upheld Idaho's Fairness in Women's Sports Act, sponsored by Representative Barbie Hart. That's what it says. The opinion repeatedly references Idaho's legislative findings, including biological differences between males and females, the competitive effects of testosterone, and the state's goal of preserving opportunities for female athletes. The breakdown is what you would have expected. Roberts, Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett voted in the majority. Kavanaugh authored the opinion. The dissent was from Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson. It should be noted that both Thomas and Gorsuch each wrote separate concurrences, so it might be interesting to read what they have to say. And it said the court expressly limited its ruling. It did not decide whether schools may voluntarily allow transgender athletes to compete in girls' sports, participation on boys' teams, locker room or restroom access, or other transgender rights questions outside the sports context, which that brings in the conversation. That's why the bathroom bill was so important.
Right.
Because this is just about playing on the court or running on the track.
Right.
It didn't include the kind of the peripheral stuff.
Right. So. And that seems to be in line with what they do.
Yeah.
You know, on the initial stuff. And that's also why it's going to be interesting to keep reading and breaking down, including, you know, with all of the people in the coalition, you know, what all of this means. But the bottom line for me is what I talked about in the very beginning. It was all about Title IX. I don't know how many times I talked about Title IX and the opportunities that Title IX gave me, you know. And even with those opportunities, you know, we people – as I was coming up, we had to fight for every little thing we got. And yet we were so appreciative. And every year brought more opportunities for girls. I mean, you know, what do we mean? I mean, we would get hand-me-down uniforms from the guys, you know, until we could afford enough money for new uniforms. You know, we would sleep four or five in a room as opposed to two. And I remember at one time when I was coaching collegiately, our gals came to me and they asked when we finally went to two to a room, if we could stay four to a room so they could have more per diem money, you know, for meals. I mean, there were so many trade-offs that we've made through the years. And then as we start to get to a point where we're, and I don't even think it has to be on an equal playing field all the time, but a fair playing field, then we allow guys to take our spots. And somehow people like Megan Rapinoe and think that somehow that's not right. I'm like, you're on the wrong team, girl. You know, you don't understand what we went through to get to the point so that you could have everything that you've had. And as so many like to say, now that you've achieved your success, you're pulling the ladder up and, you know, wanting to keep other gals from achieving the same successes. So upholding Title IX means a heck of a lot to me.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Is it surreal, Barb, to sit here and think, you know, we've got multiple TVs in this room. We've got different news networks on. And at various points, it's not true right now. Well, there it is. ABC
You're
News,
right.
Supreme Court upholds state bans on transgender girls in girls and women's sports. Fox News, the headline for the last 20 minutes was Supreme Court upholds transgender sports bans. You've got other networks that are doing the same thing.
This is pretty cool.
you're the tip of the spear on this.
Yes.
You brought this. That's got to be just a moment for you to think through all of this. And what a year. You started out the year in January sitting in the Supreme Court,
yes,
watching your law be defended. And what's that been like for you?
You know, what was probably the biggest telltale for me was almost a year ago, the Supreme Court, about this time, they started, you know, naming or accepting whatever you'd call it, which cases they would take up. And they weren't taking ours up. And I'm getting so nervous. I'm like, why aren't they taking it up? You know, what has to happen? We had been in the Ninth Circuit. We were asking for a LeBanc. West Virginia, because we always like it when you have two different districts, right, converging. So we had West Virginia and Idaho. Raul Labrador, gosh, he's just been just phenomenal. He's in contact with all of the other attorney generals, and, you know, they were telling him, you know, take it and appeal to the Supreme Court. And so we're appealing to the Supreme Court, and they're not saying anything. And then all of a sudden, on the last day, on July 3rd, early in the morning, my phone starts blowing up again with congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. The Supreme Court is taking up your case.
Yeah.
That was probably as important as this is right now, because they had to take it up before we could get to this point.
Sure.
And I was so worried that they weren't going to take it up, and they took it up. And so, you know, from almost a year ago until right now, it has been pretty amazing. And then all of the tactics, you know, that the ACLU tried to use, you know, before we ended up at the Supreme Court back in the fall, the ACLU saying, Hecox no longer wants to be part of this and wants to pull out, and just like, what? Then I'm incredibly concerned. You know, Hecox, they're trying all of these, you know, side tricks to keep the court from being able to rule and to keep this from moving forward. And it's the same thing they did in the arguments in January, to listen to the ACLU come out and say, we don't want you to define sex. We just want characteristics. And it's been amazing. And I'm looking at these people they have, you know, Paula Scanlon. Yeah, you know, I mean, she's a friend of mine. She's the one that had to be a teammate of Leah Thomas. She's the one who had been sexually assaulted and was forced to change with Leah on a daily basis. I mean, that's abuse. And so she's part of the lawsuit against the NCAA. And, you know, I believe that they also will win.
That's great. Barb, I want to share some of our text line with you. Congratulations, Barb Ehart. Great job. Congratulations, Representative Ehart. Barb, we love you, and thanks for fighting for women and girls. Sorry, this is quite the morning here. Someone said, you haven't announced what the ruling was. Well, we have. They must have tuned in late.
Yeah.
The Fairness in Women's Sports Act was upheld 6-3 in a pretty decisive ruling this morning by the Supreme Court. Hooray for common sense and fairness. A big thank you to Barb. Another congratulations, Barb. Congrats, Barb. I'm glad that Amy Coney Barrett got this one right. I had to edit that one. Theron, a huge fan of Barrett. But someone else said, way to go, Barb. So lots of love coming in for you, Representative Ehart. And I would say it's well deserved. Can you stick around for one more segment?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. We'll take a break and we'll be back. It's the Neil Larson Show, flying solo a little bit later this morning. I know Julie wants to check in as well. And love to hear her take too, right here on News Talk 107.9. All right, it's 8:25. If you're just tuning in, the Supreme Court has ruled 6-3 decisive win for fairness in women's sports, and Representative Barb Ehart, who wrote the law that led to all of this, inspired a bunch of other states to write similar laws. And I think it's one of those things, Barb, we've all probably been in those environments where you feel like you're thinking something, nobody's courageous enough to stand up and stand for it and stand up for it. You were the one that did. And your willingness to do that in the end, what year was it that passed?
2020.
So this is a six year journey here. You were the one that stood up. You got it passed. The legislature passed the bill. The governor signed the bill. And I remember it making big national headlines.
Oh,
and
yes, it did.
Can't imagine the hate you were getting from that.
But
the love, too, because a lot of people liked it. But then you started seeing the other states that are like, okay, Idaho did it. We can do it.
Yep.
And how many states have it now?
27.
Okay, so over half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, over half.
Incredible. Let me give a little more love to you. From a mother who has a daughter, let me see this, playing collegiate volleyball right now, and a granddaughter starting sports. Thank you, Barb. Someone said, this is why we moved to Idaho. Thank you, Barb.
Oh, that's awesome.
Congrats, Barb. So happy for you. You are awesome. And these tributes just keep rolling in. We've had several dozen come in so far. So,
it's I'll take the love. People have been supportive along the way. I can't tell you how many times through the years, you know, I could be walking in Sam's or Walmart or wherever, and someone would just stop me. Didn't know them. And they would just say, hey, I just want to thank you for, you know, standing up for my daughters, or, you know, whatever it would be. You know, I find it interesting that it was Kavanaugh who wrote the opinion, and he's the one coaching his daughters, I believe, in soccer and other things. You know, he has daughters that age. And he is also one who really pressed the ACLU on, you know, how, you know, that this is a, you know, zero-sum game, how this is fair, you know, some things like that. So, I find it interesting that he wrote the majority opinion.
Yeah.
So
that's good. I'd love to hear what you've seen in your text this morning. I mean, nothing sensitive here, I know your phone's lit up since came down.
Yeah, it has. You know, colleagues, you know, people, huge win. Congrats, Barb. I have, we have, lobbyists, writing in, and congratulations. This court ruling must feel amazing. Just people all over the country, you know, back east, other legislators, writing in saying congratulations. And you know, and then Trent Shippen, you know, right here local, he who also coached, you know, at BYU and Ricks, and, you know, he's just been so supportive, and I love that coaches like him, you know, get it, and how important it was to, you know, to protect, you know, girls and women. So, yeah, just coming in. April Chaney is one, her daughter, she was one that started to stand up for us. Now she's found her voice, but her daughter played at the University of Nevada. And when it was in 2025, when I started having those conversations with a couple of my colleagues, or when I say colleagues on our coalition with Boise State, to ask them to forfeit against San Jose State, when they had Blair Fleming playing. And first we got Boise State, and then, you know, I was able to, you know, speak. Then we had University of Wyoming, who, you know, they stepped out, and then Utah State. And this is all through our relationships. Meanwhile, Nevada over here was absolutely going to play because their administration was so woke. But as the gals on the team, again, courage begets courage, as they saw Boise State, Utah State, and Wyoming say no, they told their administration they weren't going to play. And the administration said, oh, yes, you are. I believe it was 10 of the 12 girls said, no, we're not. So they didn't have enough to play. So they had to forfeit. And so one of the girls' mom lives in Boise. And, you know, since that time, she's come to say that, you know, I didn't know. I didn't understand. It's like, she said she took the red pill and now she's on our side, like basically in everything, because, you know, the blinders come off and you start to see what the other side is doing.
You know, if you look back over American history, sometimes I think we have these chapters, sometimes short, sometimes they last longer, of what I would call insanity or absurdity. Yes. And I look at, there's going to be some future day, and I think maybe we're starting to get there, where we're going to look back and say, can you believe that we actually allowed boys and men to play against girls and women in sports?
Yes.
And we lived under this delusion that that wasn't the case. And now you've earned your place in this story. And part of that is, you know, is pointing out that the emperor has no clothes. It's right. It's that courage to stand up and call it for what it is. I also want to say, Barb, I just want to congratulate you. I think sometimes, I know you just came off a very close, razor-thin right. election. Julie and I were both flabbergasted that that was a close election.
Right.
And you are, in many ways, I don't want to say untouchable, because I think every person who approaches the voters, they're borrowing the opportunity to have that seat. That seat belongs to the voters, and you're well aware of that.
Absolutely.
And so that's why we have elections. But that the apparatus would work to unseat you is shocking to me. And I just want you to know, and I know I'm not alone, there are many, many people who truly appreciate the quality of conservative and Republican, quite frankly, that you are.
Thank you.
We live in weird times right now. I don't quite understand everything that's going on, but I think you are a model lawmaker and a legislator that has all the important traits, the courage, the persistence, the willingness to work with others. I mean, all of those things. Yeah. And I hope you don't take that razor thin margin too seriously.
Well, as my brother said, you know, in a basketball game, whether you win by 20 or win by a last second 3-point shot, you won. And so we are definitely moving forward. But I appreciate that, Neil. I really do. I think you understand, maybe because we have more conversations more than most. All I do when I'm back there is work for our people, both for District 33 and the state of Idaho. You know, our votes are just like Congress. When Congress votes, they may represent Idaho, but their vote affects the nation, and my vote affects the state. But I love Idaho. I was born and raised here. It's okay if you moved here. Understand what I'm saying when I say I was born and raised here. When I was coaching, I coached in multiple states, lived multiple different places when I coached collegiately. I could have decided to live anywhere, but I wanted to come back to Idaho because I'm Idahoan. You know, I mean, this is home.
Yeah.
I love this place, and I will do anything to try to uphold it and to help people have the sort of upbringing and life that I had. It was blessed, and it was safe, and it was filled with, you know, strong traditional family values, and it just, I want people to be able to also have that.
Yeah. Well, Barb, thank you for coming in. I know that you've probably got a lot to get to, a lot of people to respond to, and it's going to be a busy day, but a happy day for you. And
yes.
we always appreciate you making time for us.
Thank you so much, Neil. And thanks to everyone out there for all of the love and support.
All right. 8:34, we'll take a quick break for the news here at the bottom. And we'll continue after this again really quickly. If you're just tuning in, the Supreme Court has sided with the Fairness in Women's Sports Act 6-3 and very decisive for this law and on this issue. We'll be back. It's 8:40 now on News Talk 107.9. You know, I think